Dana and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbore and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
And good morning, and welcome to Happy Hour, and we are back. Ladies, hello.
I missed you. We didn't even plan that.
You're so full of crap, too, but
no,
I appreciate
we did.
It.
No, love you, didn't Frank. Miss me. I miss both of you.
I don't miss me, and I am me, so look.
Well, you're with you all the time.
I am kind of boring that way, but we are back. You know, we took, like we were joking about earlier, we had our cliffhanger ending, you know, of the winter season.
Pre-holiday. Cliffhanger.
Right, and now we're back and we get to find out who tried to kill Carol.
Yes.
And I'll tell you.
Do you know who it was?
I know exactly who it was. So nobody was trying to kill me until January 1 when I had to give up Cosmopolitans.
Yeah.
That's what's happening.
Oh, okay. All right. We got you.
It's the cutting out of alcohol out of my life for the month of January that's trying to kill me.
So that's the resolution for you right now?
Well, it's kind of a household thing, and I'm hanging on.
It's a misery loves company kind of thing.
Oh, I got you.
She really has.
You.
Let's talk about it. Like, she's not in the room. She really has no reason to get. Like, it's not like she's overweight. I know that alcohol does make her happy. She's a happiness expert. And she take away the alcohol. It's like taking away a pen from a writer, for crying out loud.
Right. Exactly.
Ooh, ow.
You know, and it's not like she's, you know, slurring when she's on the air here.
No, she hides it very well.
She does.
Very well.
And the Altoids. I have noticed she does kind of pound the Altoids, though.
You know. This is all her husband's idea.
Gotcha.
What is it today? 10 days
Brilliant.
In? Or two weeks
14
in?
14 days in.
Yeah, I see.
Well, you're halfway there.
You're right.
You're halfway there.
See?
I'm a champion.
Glass half full of wine, girlfriend.
Look at me go.
There you go.
Yeah, I got this. All right. Yeah, so Happy New Year, everyone.
Yeah,
yes.
Well, Happy New Year to you and I think, but... Not quite the happiest
of
New Year's.
You had a rough week last
I saw
week.
Your
I
post.
Did.
I saw the post on Facebook. I didn't know any of this had happened because I hadn't seen you. So did anything fall off? You know, like the hypothermia?
Right.
Did you lose a pinky
so
or anything?
So let's fill everybody in.
Yeah,
what happened?
I'll fill you guys in. So a week and a half ago or what have you. So it was right after the first of the year. We had a weather condition known as... Bombogenesis. You guys remember it was a snowstorm on a Thursday.
Bombogenesis?
Yes. You didn't hear that term?
Well, no, I heard bomb something.
Cyclone.
Bomb cyclone. Bombogenesis sounds like the name of a pet chimp.
She could be making it up, but we'll
no,
go with it. We'll
I'm totally not making up. So this bombogenesis is a cyclone, but it happened to be mixed with a snowstorm. So we had like a double whammy on a Thursday. As it happens, I'm normally at the office on Thursdays, but I got stuck in New York City, so I could not, and I obviously couldn't drive. And who drives in a bombogenesis? No, nobody. So anyway, long story short, the next day I arrive at my home. And you know, like when you arrive home and you immediately sense that something's just off.
Uh-oh. Oh, yeah.
So I have a thermostat that I can set with my app so I can toast up the house before I get there. And it was terribly cold that week.
Yes.
So
bitter.
I toasted up the house and I get home. It's like 7 o'clock. It's nighttime. And I walk in and all of a sudden I see my breath.
Oh, no.
As I walk inside my house.
Oh,
and I still have my coat on. And I'm like, huh, that's not normal.
No, not at all.
No. So now I could see my breath and I'm like scratching my head like something's not right. I walk into my living room and there is a pile of snow. A pile.
Well, wait, how did snow get inside?
Good question. Ask bombogenesis. Because apparently I have a French door that was shut and locked and the wind and the snow was so strong.
It was rattling it loose.
Got inside my house. There was enough snow inside my living room to make a half a dozen snowballs. Honest to God. Like that much.
God.
So now my brilliant detective skills. I'm seeing my breath. I'm looking at the snow
in my
house, and I'm saying to myself, it appears that I have no heat. So what do? I go into the bathroom to turn on a light, look in the mirror, wash my hands. was the sound of my faucet.
Yep.
No water's coming out.
Yep.
So now, even though I'm not a panicker, all right? I am not a panicker. Like, if I'm about to panic, I can really, like, slow it down. I started to panic. Oh, I'm like, God, this is really not good. So then I go into the kitchen, and there is a big, it was like a cartoon. You know when you have a cartoon, when water comes out of a faucet and it freezes?
Immediately, yes.
I had a big frozen water popsicle coming out of my kitchen faucet.
No.
Like just like scared, stiff, like that. And I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. So what do? I immediately call my dad. Because when stuff goes wrong, you call your
and
dad.
And he's a contracting guy, so.
And I knew it was bad when he was like, I'll be right there.
Oh no.
Long story short, so this is not how I wanted to start 2018, because I feel really good things about 2018. I really do. Just got off to a little rocky start. So what had happened was a coil in a something under my house cracked. It caused every single pipe under my house to freeze, turned them into popsicles, and it caused, instead of the heat, so my little thermostat app is telling me my heat's like a balmy 70 degrees. It was blowing cold air,
right?
But it didn't know. So it was a disaster. My father was under my house on his hands and knees with blow dryers and kerosene heaters all night. But
did you get any busted pipes as a result?
Knock on wood. Oh. I did not get any busted
pipe.
So
lucky.
I have two things that busted that I am awaiting repair. One of them is not going to make you happy, Curly.
What?
So I found this awesome plumber. Winslow's sons and daughters.
I've worked with them. They're great.
I didn't know whether to pay him or kiss him after he saved my life days later. I know. So anyway, long story short, he went into my house when I wasn't there to look at the upstairs shower just sprung this leak. And he walked to my house when I wasn't there, and he calls me. He's like, I had my socks on because I didn't want to traipse through your house with my shoes, and I stepped in a pile of water, which had not been there previously. Mm-hmm. The ice maker to my refrigerator got so cold, the line cracked. Now, you know it's cold when something that makes ice cracks. Oh. So I can't make ice in my refrigerator anymore.
Okay.
You can make it in your toilet though, right?
My toilets were frozen.
Okay. Were they solid ice?
Solid ice.
Wow.
We had to pour antifreeze in my commodes, and I had to do the pee-pee dance for a while there. And then the upstairs shower that was brand spanking new.
Oh no.
The shower panel, which squirts you all over the place, broke. But that's better than the pipe. Like that can be replaced. It wasn't the pipe or the line or anything like that. Those were the two casualties. But I made a new friend with Winslow's sons and daughters. Anthony Winslow was
They're great,
amazing, and miraculously, here's the happy ending. Even though I had this. Cost
no
me.
No pun intended.
No, right.
I was just letting her go around. Just go.
Sorry. This did cost a few bucks, you know, and it could have been a lot worse. I'm very grateful.
Yes, it could.
I did not at any time freak out.
I'm proud of you.
I didn't. I made a video. And not only did I make a video about it to like kind of make light of the situation when I came in, the lighting was so bad in my house for whatever reason that I looked disgusting. I looked like, you know, when you shove a flashlight under your chin.
And try to be scary and tell a ghost story.
And I posted it anyway.
I didn't see it.
Screw it. Yeah, posted it anyway. It was a love letter to Bombo Genesis. And then the rest of the whole time, I kept my cool. I kept my cool because
literally,
I figured...
because you were freezing cold.
Because my teeth were chattering. But I wanted to freak out a couple times. Didn't. So I'm going to say that's the message for 2018 is do not freak out no matter what.
Keep your head about you. I mean, but whatever it is in life, whether it's small, whether this is a pretty major thing, or whether there's even worse things than this, the choice is always ours into how we respond. Yeah. It's always ours.
You say that all the time. That should be your mantra. Right? We have a choice in how we respond. We don't have a choice in what happens to us, right? I didn't really have a choice to have my entire house freeze turn into a big popsicle.
Right.
But I did have a choice how to respond.
Right.
Yeah, I've had some physical situations like that where I did not respond. I did not like lose my mind either. Mm-hmm. I had some emotional ones that were slightly different. But, you know, I remember one time I had my car. Some kid totaled my car in a parking lot, a completely packed parking lot, brand spanking new car. And I was in a bar doing a gig, and my roommate and I came out of the bar, and me, him, him and his girlfriend are standing there, and we're looking and we're seeing all this activity, and three guys are holding some guy in his car to keep him from running away, the guy who hit the cars.
Oh,
and we're looking, and my roommate looked at me and he went, "Dude, that's your car." And I looked at him and I went, "Yeah, it is my car, isn't it?" And his girlfriend went, "Kind of makes sense for you, doesn't it?" And I said, "Yeah, it does kind of make sense for me, doesn't it?" And the three of us just standing there looking at, he somehow found the back end of my car in a parking lot with probably 200 cars in it.
Of course.
But I did not, because what am I going to do? It is what it is
right.
at that very moment.
Exactly.
What are you going to do?
You just handle it from that point on, which apparently you did.
Handle it. Yes, you handle it.
So how quickly did you get your heat back, by the way?
So that I arrived on Friday night. I got my heat back actually about 24 hours later, but I'm embellishing the story, and I'm saying I was without heat for 2 days, because Friday and Saturday equals two, even though technically it was only 24 hours.
You're allowed to go with that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. So a little rough start to 2018, but like I said, could have been worse.
Could have been
and
way
there was
worse.
A silver
Freeze-ups
lining.
Are no fun.
No, not at all.
Yeah, and you're lucky you didn't have any frozen pipes within the walls, because I've had that happen.
Oh.
Yep.
And it's
and
good.
And they bust, and they're spewing inside the wall. Yay.
It was my mother. I don't know how my mother knows that you, Carol Pesci, have the same furnace that I do. I don't know. I do not know where she got that information from.
What?
One of the conversations. So my mother gets weird when things like this happen. Like, she'll text me really stupid questions like, "Well, are you going to call a plumber?" Like, "No, I'm going to call Santa Claus. Who do you think I'm going to call?" So she goes off on this rant. "Well, call Carol, because Carol has the same furnace as you, and she's going to know somebody who can service it." And I'm saying
how
to myself,
"How does your mother know that?"
I'm like, "I know you better than anybody. I don't know what kind of furnace you have. Who knows what kind of furnace you have?"
That's because moms are superheroes. You know that.
Moms, they are full of surprises.
Weird, right? But Carol and I are like such close friends. I should know what size shoe you wear at least, and I don't. But my mother knows what kind of furnace setup you have.
That's hilarious.
That is weird. So anyway, but I do actually have the same furnace setup you have.
That's hilarious. And she was right.
She was
and
right.
And mothers are annoyingly good at being right.
But you got your heat back, and you got your heat back, thankfully, right before the coldest night in forever.
Oh, man.
When it dropped down to like -12 Saturday into Sunday.
Yes, that's true.
So
that
glad that's behind us and it's warmed up a little bit.
Yeah, right? It's normal now.
Well, I walked in today and it's 25 degrees and it feels like spring. I'm like, why am I wearing a sweatshirt? I should be in shorts and, a tank top.
But it's funny that we are talking about stress because our guests.
Yeah, so let's take a break. When we come back, we are going to talk to Chris Johnson. He is the founder and CEO of On Target Living. He has been in the field of health and wellness for 30 years.
30 plus. Yeah, plus.
He's very cool. He's got some important stuff he wants to talk to us about, like why we're experiencing so much more stress,
mm-hmm.
but our ability to handle it is actually declining.
Yes.
So how can we get our ability to deal with the things around us better, increase our capacity, increase our health, and put ourselves in a place where these things maybe won't stress us as much.
So we can perform better.
Exactly.
Under pressure.
Yes. And I think, didn't you say he's going to give us some nice simple steps? Simple steps that everybody listening could take.
Yes, that's the key to his approach, is don't make it difficult. Don't make it overwhelming. Don't make me change my whole lifestyle.
Right.
What are some simple, easy things I can do to start taking better care of my health, my sleep, my mental state of mind, and the stress of my life? Little simple steps.
That sounds good to me. Maybe we can start with Chris Johnson to help us make 2018 a little bit of a better start, like you said.
That's right.
All right, it's on the way. More Happy Hour. This is K104.
Jenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jenna and Carol.
And this is Happy Hour with Jenna and Carol, and we have returned. And it's time now for us to try to get a little bit healthy. We're going to talk to Chris Johnson. He's with us on the line right now. All about how stress is melting us down. All around health guru, and he's going to tell us how to, get healthier in all aspects, right?
Well, it is that time of year. We all overindulge. Well, when I say all, I mean me. In the month of November, December, we don't worry about it. Come first of the year, we're really focused on getting healthier. And that's good for everybody. So I thought it would be a good idea to have Chris Chris back on the show. He was on with us a while back. Chris Johnson, he's the founder and CEO of On Target Living. We love this guy. He's sharp. He's one of us, too. He's not this guy that knows it all always. In fact, if you look back at his history, he grew up as a kid with terrible skin problems, chronic health issues, mm-hmm. until he really started investigating how his habits were affecting his health. So as Frankenberry just mentioned, what we're going to talk about is how stress is melting us down. I mean, I think we can all relate to that, as well as how health is really the foundation to greater performance in life. And that's true from an individual level. I'm sure it's true from a relationship level and true on a like an organization level mm-hmm. as well. Right, Chris?
Absolutely. No, I'm happy to have to be with you guys. You know, it's interesting. You're saying that you're one of us. Yeah, I think I went off the On Target Living wagon. I think I had way too many cookies over the holidays. So I'm not going to just say that I'm an eating perfect. I fell off that wagon too. So I think that's, you know, the holidays do that to everybody. Yeah. But yeah, stress is a big problem. We just, my son and I have both my kids in the business with me. My daughter Kristen and my son Matt, but Matt and I just wrote a book called Capacity that just came out about a week and a half ago. And really what the whole purpose of the book was is to help organizations really look at their, you know, how are they training their ponies? Everybody's doing a lot of some marketing and leadership and all the different things, but really how are you taking care of your people? And we always ask the question, if your people is your greatest asset, every organization says the same thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Then what's the greatest asset of their people? It's their health.
Sure.
So that's the foundation we come at it, you know, and if people don't have that foundation, they're not going to be performing at their best, whether it's the individual or the corporation. And so that's what we've learned over the years. I've been in this business. I turned 60 this year, that really more and more organizations and people, the foundation for kind of everything they're doing is their health. But sometimes we just kind of forget it. But when we all know when our health disappears, then it really don't have a whole lot.
I can totally tell when I have had a really good weekend. Let's put it that way. Monday, my head is definitely not as clear and sharp as if I go through a period of time where I'm eating really good, clean, which I tend to eat really good during the week, a little bit lazier on the weekends. But I can totally feel how it affects my mental capacity, my mood, everything.
Yeah, so if you ask the organizations again, you know, what are they struggling with? They're struggling with people having focus. They're struggling with energy,
yep.
and they're struggling with that motivation. And again, if you're having an enjoyable weekend sometimes, which we all do, it might take us a day and a half to get back in the swing of things versus, and again, it's not about being perfect, but it's about having that awareness. And that's what we've learned for a long period of time is that, you know, when we get a good night's sleep and we've moved our body just a little bit and we've eaten halfway decent, you can handle a lot more. And if you don't have that, then you're not going to be able to. And again, if you looked at one of the things we wrote in our book, we talk about the Navy SEAL training. And the Navy SEALs are the experts in the world of breaking down people's capacity. And what they do is they take away their sleep, they take away their food, and they overexercise them. But in corporate America or just, you know, the average person, it's a slower drip.
You're right. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same exact thing, but they don't speed it up. And so most of the Navy SEAL training, you know, people exit out of the training within a couple hours, you know, couple days, you know, in less than a week, they're out. Versus sometimes, you know, we all think about this, you know, how did I get acid reflux? Or why don't I sleep anymore? Why is my blood pressure too high? Or, you know, why do I have so much anxiety? It's just a slow drip. And if we don't have that, go back to that foundation, that's where people start. And that's really where we come at it. Like, we're not trying to be perfect, but if you can build that foundation under resting, eating, and moving, then it's amazing the performance and how people feel. And I truly don't believe, the longer I've been in the business, that people really don't want to feel good.
Wait, Chris, I want to challenge you for a second. Let's go back to the Navy SEAL analogy for a minute. So if the Navy SEALs are trained to, well, basically they starve them, they don't let them sleep, they, you know, they turn their brains to mush.
Corporate America.
But there must be, true, there must be a reason for that. Like, in other words, I guess for a Navy SEAL, in order to be a Navy SEAL, you have to be able to endure the toughest of situations, the toughest elements of the environment. So in a sense, though, shouldn't we all kind of strive to be able to endure the stuff that nearly kills us, but doesn't?
Well, again, that's building that capacity. Uh-huh. You know, if I'm working with somebody and they can't walk up a flight of stairs, they don't have that capacity.
True.
So if they get some training, the next thing you know, they build their capacity. They can walk upstairs, and in fact, they don't even think about it anymore.
Right.
So that's really, you know, when you really look at the Navy SEALs and how they basically get people out of their program, is they take away the fundamentals. And some people say, how do you do that? It's pretty simple. You just overstress people. And what the Navy SEALs do over time is big part of their motivation is the people's purpose. So if you look at not the Navy SEALs, it's not the fittest, it's not the fastest, it's not the strongest that make it through the Navy SEAL training. They have to have a basic capacity for that, but what they have is they have the capacity, that motivation that comes from their purpose. So all the Navy SEAL people that make it, you know, they have a strong purpose.
Chris,
so when you get a strong purpose and you build capacity one step at a time, that's the Navy SEAL fighting machines.
And to take that on a smaller level, how does that apply to the average person in today's world? And something that you say is so very true is that the demands on us are increasing. And that's at work, and that is in life in general. And at the same time, we have this inverse of relationship because our capacity to perform is shrinking because our health is getting less attention. Correct?
Correct. Correct. You're right on it. So if our demands are increasing and our capacity is shrinking, that's why we wrote the book, because that's what we're seeing everywhere. They're trying to put a Band-Aid on the real problem. The
right.
problem is that your people don't have the capacity to handle it. Technology, for the first time in history, is outracing human capacity. So if you looked at, you know, there's a great TED talk on white space, and it looked at that average person has about 2.5 hours of white space every day. That's really the time where people can think and, you know, work out and kind of take care of themselves.
Wait, when you
well,
say,
now it's
I'm sorry, when you say white space, you mean undistracted time?
It's time that we have, you know, you got to go to work. And you have to have, we all have these demands on our time, but everybody has a certain amount of time that they have self-care. And some people don't even plug it into their world. But for the average person, that time, it keeps shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. No longer do I have 8 hours to sleep because I'm on my electrical devices. You know, there's too much of that going on. We don't have enough time to move your body. We have a new challenge that just came out. And then one of the rules in the challenge is you have to move your body 10 minutes a day. People are like, 10 minutes a day, that's it? I'm like, 10 minutes a day, compound interest. So if you just move your body every day for 10 minutes, you get amazing results.
Wow. So if you
but again,
say,
people think they have to go 1.5 hours to the gym. That's not going to happen.
So you said 2.5 hours of white space, though. Is that actually what we average? Because that sounds really high to me, that number, compared to what you're talking about right now.
Yeah, that's what we used to average. We're no longer there anymore. It's less than 30 minutes for many people.
Less than 30?
And the reason being, and less than 30 because people are filling that in with they're filling it in with their electronics, their technology. Mm. So it used to be TV, now it's your devices.
So here's where I see where you come in, and I want to get into some specific, you know, we're talking big picture, which is important to understand what's happening here and how it's affecting us, and let's get into some details perhaps about some suggestions you have for people of things that they can do. But the way I see this, and if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Chris Johnson. He's the founder and CEO of On Target Living, and he is the co-author of the new book, Capacity. But many people look at their lives, and I think stress is a thing. It's just the way of life. It's because of all the things around me, and if I could change the circumstances around me, I'll stress less. Well, yes, there is some of that what we can do, but what I think what you're coming at it with your book Capacity is, okay, ask a different question. How can I internally do things mentally, perhaps meditation, eat better, move more, so that I have more capacity to, one, do more and respond and deal with the things around me better?
That's exactly right. One of the things, if you talked about stress, we could spend a whole, you know, day on it or more. But one of my real key trainers over the years is named Dr. Phil Nirenberger. He's out of Scranton, Pennsylvania. And this guy's been doing this for 50 years. And one of the things he talks about stress, it's really what we say to ourselves, and everybody's different. So what stresses one person out might stress another. That's a big container. But what we're coming at it is a little bit more simplistic. is if people get a good night's sleep, we all know this. Sometimes we don't get good night's sleeps, or we're well hydrated, or we've moved our body and we're enjoying. You can handle a lot of things.
Oh my gosh!
But
I feel
if
like
you haven't had a good night's sleep.
When
you know, you're going to melt down relatively fast.
That is me to a T. When I sleep well, I'm a rock star the next day. And when I haven't, every little thing sets me off. I'm emotional. I love sleep.
Everything. So again, if you think of hormonally, you know, if you're not eating the right types of healthy fats, or you're not eating the right types of serotonin foods. We just had a podcast we called Hungry for Happiness. We talked about happiness foods. So if you don't give people the right things to eat, they don't give them enough rest, and the human body's meant to move a little bit, if you can get people to do a little bit of each of those, they can handle so much more. Wow. And that's what we've seen in our training over the years, is like, why isn't this not a strategy in every organization across the country? And it should be.
Right.
And it should be a strategy for every individual.
So when you present people with these real world examples that are very simple like that, like if you look at somebody and say, the last time that you got a nice, solid, good 8 hour sleep, how did you feel the next day? And they look at you and go, you know what? I didn't think about that, but I felt great. So when you have these examples, are people really receptive to that? Do they take to it?
For sure, because one of the things is everybody wants to perform at a higher level. What I mean by that, I mean, it's not about, you know, running faster or whatever, but you want to feel better. When people feel better, they perform better.
Yeah.
They have, you know, how many people come home from work and have nothing left for their family?
Yeah.
So we're having all these problems at home, and they're like, hey, you don't have a problem at home because you don't have any capacity left.
Yeah.
So you're burned out. All you want to do is come home and veg out and eat garbage and sit in front of the TV. And I don't blame them.
I love doing
that. If I could, we all like to do that. You know, House of Cards. I can't say that my wife and I probably did a little binge of House. So, but the point of it is that you're slowly losing your capacity, and people don't really recognize it. And so what we do is so I'm going to show you some really simple steps that you can do today to start building your capacity.
And I would love to get into that. And before we wrap the interview, we'll make sure that if there's any employer groups out there that want to connect with you and have you work with their team, that they know how to do that. But let's, if we can, get into some specific actionable things people can do now to take better care of their health that will actually give them more capacity in life to deal with, and the things will stress them less, and maybe they'll sleep better. So what are some specific suggestions you have for people?
Very, very specific. Is if you can help people improve their focus, and a big part of that is getting enough rest. And so one thing we really say, okay, just really take a look at, how much do you sleep? And if you're sleeping 5.5 hours, don't worry about 8 hours. Let's go to 30 minutes more. So let's plug in 30 minutes more in your sleep. And people are like, I can do that. So if I'm sleeping 6, I'm going to 6.5. And I create a great environment. I'm just doing all the stuff that, you know, we have a whole bunch of stuff on our website there. But the big for that is creating a great environment, kind of shutting it down, and then really thinking about what am I eating and drinking. So, for example, magnesium is the food of relaxation. So a lot of people get to sleep, but they can't stay asleep. So you start eating more foods high in magnesium, figs, raisins, dates, greens, you know, cacao, which is real chocolate. So magnesium is the mineral relaxation. So we really focus on, let's number one, look at how much you're sleeping. How can you add a little bit more? And again, if you're not having gut health, this gets a little deeper, but, you know, get outside, maybe get a little sunlight, all these different things, daily activity. And then from there, we move into, which is really simple, is breathing breaks, or they call micro breaks. So every day, you take a 60-second micro break 3 times a day.
Wow.
So you close your eyes, breathe only through your nose, and then diaphragmatic breathing. In fact, I have some school teachers that I'm working with, and they're teaching their kids during this, and they're like, I'm just getting great results with my kids because they really look forward to these breathing breaks.
60 seconds, so 3 times a day.
60 seconds, 3 times a day. You'll be shocked. And diaphragmatic breathing is one of the fastest ways to calm down the brain.
Wow.
Lower blood pressure, lower heart rate. It's all scientific. You know, it's just... But we're not teaching this. So that's why we're teaching it in schools now, where some of these teachers are just reaching out to us and they're like, I cannot believe we heard your daughter speaking about this, and we're implementing our classrooms, and our kids are they're behaving better. Well, they're performing better because they feel better. They're less stressed.
It's so interesting.
So those are the two big ones right there.
It's so interesting because the prevailing mentality, and I'm one of those, is you are your most productive self when you are doing, getting things done, just spending time working. But you're making the case, rest more. You could feasibly spend less time on your work and actually accomplish more and do it better if you are well rested, number one. And two, what you're saying is you pause, even if it's only 60 seconds, and step away from your work, and you do this breathing from your diaphragm through your nose, and as you say, three times a day, that time doing that is going to increase your capacity while you are working. It's counterintuitive to stop working to get more done.
There's no doubt about it. So if you're, and again, this is my arena for 35 years, but if you took somebody and they're exercising and you over-exercise them, they'll fall apart on you. Yep. But if you exercise them a little bit, you give them rest, it's amazing how they not only perform, but they won't break down on you.
See, that's the most...
So if you don't let the body pause and rest during the day, you're going to break down.
That's the most interesting thing about this discussion is little tiny shifts can have a big result. Like, I would never think that, oh, if I just take a minute three times a day, I'm going to feel a lot better. There are certain things that I don't do. Like, if I don't have a full half hour at least to get on the treadmill, skip it. because I figure, what's the point? But, maybe you get on for a minute or two.
That's our whole challenge. Our entire living challenge is 21-day challenge, and it's these micro breaks. It's these 10 minutes of movement. But if I said, for example, I'm on your show right now, and I said to your listeners, you got to meditate for a half hour to an hour a day.
Ugh.
They're gonna hang up on you.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
They're gonna change the radio station.
Right.
So that doesn't work. Now, if you can get people to breathe three times a day for a minute or twice a day for a minute, that's the first step of learning how to meditate.
Right.
So if you went to any top meditation expert in the world, they're going to just teach you how to breathe. Well, I'm teaching everybody how to breathe. Classrooms, kids, it's just simple. And that might be all you want. And then you're going to go, wow, I actually feel better. Yeah, and okay, now here I go. In fact, you might even take a stretch break. You might say, okay, I'm going to do a 60-second breathing break, and I'm going to do a 30-second stretch break, and then I'm going back to work. Well, I get a guarantee you're going to feel better. So those are just some easy tips from an eating standpoint. As easy as it sounds, but are you drinking throughout the day? So if
coffee.
You put, 60 ounces, 70 ounces of water in front of people, are you drinking throughout the day? Number two, are you getting some, that's why we have this food target. And one of the things on the food target is what can you upgrade? Let's just say focus on one or two meals that you eat every day. For example, breakfast. What does your breakfast look like? Could you upgrade that some way, somehow? And if you can slowly start doing that, or maybe you plan a little bit, or, we talk a lot about superfoods like omega-3 fats, fish oil, wheatgrass, spirulina, corella, but we just slowly add a couple things in there, and then the next thing you know, they're like, for example, this morning I had oatmeal, and I put cacao powder, which is real high in magnesium. I like the taste of it. I put some frozen cherries, a couple raisins, and then I put some cashew milk in there, and a few nuts, a few walnuts, and it's called oatmeal on the run. It takes 1 minute to prepare. I stir it up. It's like cold oatmeal. And people are like, that sounds really simple. It is simple. But also, what I want is the next two and a half, 3 hours is my blood glucose levels at a peak level. And I am rocking from an energy standpoint. So now I have great energy. I'm well hydrated, and I'm going to perform better.
Totally.
And the last thing you mentioned, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm very self-aware, sometimes too much, but I pay attention when I eat something. There's times when within 15 minutes, I'm yawning, I'm feeling tired. Like, mm-hmm. It's so, what you consume so much affects everything in your body, all of your body systems.
Well, if you ask most people what type of healthy fats they're consuming, they really don't know what you're talking about. And so I'm not really going to get into the health aspects of it right during this interview. But if you're eating high-quality proteins, high-quality carbohydrates, high-quality fats, and that's the genesis of our food target. And our food target, anybody can come to our website, ontarioliving.com, and it's free. And it's a guide to help them understand how to improve the quality of what they're eating. So if I can get people to eat healthy fats, healthy proteins, healthy carbs, they're going to have great hormones. They're going to have great brain health. and they're going to have great energy throughout the day. And that leads to, again, to like, man, I like how I feel. So it's not a diet. It's not about losing weight. It's about how I feel and how I perform and what my energy is like. Oh, and by the way, that might lead into a better night's sleep. So these are the things we're seeing in our world that people just, like, I never knew that. I never knew that taking an acid blocker over the counter, like an acid reflux medication, causes me to have, you know, a drop in hormones. People don't know this stuff. So again, if I say, well, if I don't need an acid blocker, what if I just eat certain foods that make my body more alkaline? So again, I don't want to go down this rabbit hole too far, but the point of it is you, how powerful food can be. And then you throw a little bit of daily movement on top of that. Because I think exactly what you said, if I don't have a half hour or 45 minutes, people just say, oh, I don't have time.
Yeah. Right.
What if you had, what if you could do five air squats, five push-ups, and then you did that two or three sets, which takes you less than 5 minutes, and then maybe you walked for 5 or 10 minutes. How would that affect your fitness day in and day out?
And you know what, Chris? You're simplifying it, which is wonderful, and I think it's important. And you're saying you don't have to radically change your life to start seeing better health results. You can start little by little. And the fact of the matter is, nobody got fat overnight. Nobody got completely unhealthy overnight with one decision. It was many multiple choices and decisions and habits that got you to where you are. So that's how you change it, is starting little by little and make it easy for yourself. Because if you come first of the year, yes, I'm no more carbs at all, no alcohol. God, that's my home right now, unfortunately.
If I'm doing a speaking presentation, I say, hey, audience, you know, no chocolate, no sugar, no alcohol, they're hitting the door.
Right. So, but what you're saying here is little changes. Do what you can to...
Big, go ahead. Yeah. Behavior change is really, really hard. And so we learned a long time ago, it's not about information. It's about how do you get people engaged and how do you have them take this next step? So now you get them interested and then you show them a pathway that if you take the, again, it's all about the process. It's not about the outcome, because everybody's focused on the outcome. If I can create a process for you that you enjoy, would you be willing to help go down that path? And they're like, yeah. So I'm going to help you enjoy the process. So it's not a diet. It's not some exercise program you can't stand that you'll do for like 2 weeks. You develop a process, and that in turn will build the capacity you're looking for.
Chris,
and that's the key.
You're brilliant in your knowledge of health, obviously, but then to take the approach where you make it simple and you make it approachable, you don't make it intimidating, it's brilliant. And this is what people need. We have about another 30 seconds here or so. We're wrapping up here with Chris Johnson. He's the founder and CEO of On Target Living, co-author of the recent book Capacity. I highly recommend it. You can hire him, work with his company to come in and talk with your team, work with your team to build their capacity, which is building their health, their rest, getting to move, getting to eat better. Any final thoughts that you want to make sure our listeners know, either about how to reach you or any other specific points we haven't covered yet?
Yeah, the easiest way to reach us is go to our website, ontargetliving.com, and we have a vibrant team, and we always will reach back to you. So if you reach out to us, you will get a phone call or an email. So we got a great team. But I really want your listeners to really focus on a couple things. Number one is, what do they want to improve upon? Get real specific. And that one or two steps do they want to start with? So, for example, if they feel like stress is a big deal, then focus on the breathing.
Right.
And that's all you focus on. Just focus on the breathing. Or maybe you don't get a good night's sleep. Or maybe I don't drink enough water. Or maybe my breakfast is really crummy and I don't have the energy during the day, so I have to do energy drinks or too much caffeine or soda. So really, I think that's what we've learned over the time. It's not about, you know, breaking down the walls and building this gigantic building. It's like, let's just do a couple of baby steps, build some new habits, and those habits will lead into more habits down the road. And that's what I've learned over the years. Not about information, it's about rituals that lead into habits that you can sustain and enjoy in the process.
Makes so much sense. Chris, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us. Chris Johnson, founder and CEO of On Target Living, ontargetliving.com. His book, Capacity, just out like a week and a half ago. Congratulations on that.
Thanks so much. Thanks for the time today.
All right, Chris. Thank you for talking with us.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chris. And I guarantee you I am going to definitely do the 60 seconds of the breathing. So.
This is perfect for you, Frank.
Love
and
it.
Well, no, I mean, sitting in, I, you know, Chris, I sit in a little production studio. That is my entire day, is sitting in front of my, you know, my program, my software program, building spots. That's all I do. So, I mean, for me to do something like that, to do a couple of the squats while I'm in my studio, yes, I can do that kind of thing. So that would work for me.
And that's the whole
thing.
And
what I can do, too, and I would go to our website, or I can send this, you know, I can send this to, if you just want to shoot me a quick email, but I can send you the link to the challenge. And the challenge has three simple rules. You pick one form of rest today, like the breathing. You eat in the center of the target for 21 days, and then you move 10 minutes a day. So that's our Ontario Living Challenge. So that will get you started in those, building those habits.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Send him that, and I'm going to send you a picture of the handful of antacids on top of the McDonald's gift card.
Hey, the McDonald's
that
gift card
is in front
is
of Frankenberry right now, Chris.
Hey, that is not mine, lady.
I just outed you.
Frankenberry, by the time we talk next year, you'll be a new person.
There you go. All right, Chris, thanks so much.
All right, see you guys. Bye-bye.
Take care, Chris. Thanks so much. All right, we're going to be back.
Bye-bye.
This is Happy Hour with John and Carol, and you're listening to K104.
Donna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Donna and Carol.
And we're back again here with Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frankenberry.
That's the best way to start 2018 that I can think of. So, we just had a fantastic conversation with Mr. Chris Johnson, helping us out with some stress, and especially at the very end, some stress techniques, some way to kind of help
ones.
Us. Yes.
Right. Easy things you can do that create little habits that over time are going to impact how you feel, your health, your mental clarity, your sleep. All of that.
Mm-hmm. Just simple, easy things. The simple concept of the breathing.
I know.
And the simple concept of 10 minutes of activity. Just getting
breathe.
Up, walking away from your desk and coming back 10 minutes later. You know?
Yeah. It's good for something. So while people are waiting to receive his book, Capacity, in case you've already ordered it on Amazon, we have a list that we can power through right now. 8 ways to increase your energy, focus, and productivity. Here's something interesting, you guys, that we kind of take for granted. We don't even know what are the components of productivity. Like, we use the word all the time, right? Mm-hmm. There are 3 of them. Your time, your focus, and your energy. You mash those all up together, and that creates your productivity. So let's see. So 8 things you can do to increase that. Number 1, meditate. Why? It increases your focus. Even I, the one who never wanted to meditate a second, can vouch for that at this point.
We talked about that briefly with Chris, and it's counterintuitive that stepping away from getting work done will actually help you get more done and be better at it.
Yep.
And you can do it quickly to start with. You don't have to, you know, it doesn't have to be a situation where somebody says, well, you've got to meditate for 10 solid minutes. Well, nobody can do that.
But if you take that
breathing exercise he mentioned, well, you can do that. You have time for that.
In just a couple of minutes. Number 2, this is obvious, but you can't say it enough. Eating healthy. Why? It increases your energy.
I don't like it, but I get it.
I know. I'm not going to tell you how to eat healthy. You can all figure that out.
But Mikey likes it.
Number 3, and Chris talked about this too a lot, sleeping better, getting enough rest. That also increases your energy. Now, there are a couple things I'm going to throw in here. In order to do that, the suggestions are in a completely dark room, which I don't do. I have to sleep with the TV on. They say don't do that. Nap whenever you can.
Really?
And get this. I'm not sure I buy. Build a reserve, meaning if you lose sleep, you have a bad week, a bad couple of nights, you're not getting enough, the moment that you can make up for it, it's supposed to be healthier for your brain.
Well, that's good to hear.
I've read a couple of different things about that.
I try to do that on Sundays, though. I mean, if I don't have anything to do on a Sunday, I will make plans instead of going to bed at 10:30 like I usually do and getting up around 6:30 or 7. I will go to bed at sometimes 5 in the afternoon. I'll just say I'm done. I'll veg out for a few hours and I'll turn off the TV at 5 or 6 and I'm done. And I'll try to get that extra 2 or 3 hours.
Wow, good for you.
All right, if I can do it one day a week, get it.
Yeah, exactly.
Exercise. Chris talked about that too, because that also increases your energy. And what Chris talked about is if you don't have 30 minutes, it's okay. You can take 3. Take 1.
Right.
Do something.
Right. Get
start
that in,
creating those little habits
into your routine. Number 5. Ooh, I like this saying. Make progress, not perfection. And that will also help increase your focus. So I suppose there's something you want to get done. Start working on it. Visualize what you want. Doesn't have to be perfect. Just get her done.
Get something done.
Number 6, using the chunking technique to also increase your focus. This is a lot of self-help gurus talk, like Tony Robbins, for example. There's another one. When you got something big and kind of overwhelming that you need to work on, you piece it down, you chunk it down into bite-sized mm-hmm. segments, and then start working on them that way. It makes you feel more accomplished and motivated to keep going.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Number seven, avoid using willpower for unrelated tasks. Now, this article says that willpower is like a muscle. The more you use it, the weaker it gets.
Oh, you get worn out.
You get worn out from using it. So, if you're going to use your willpower to focus, you focus on one task at a time. Mm-hmm. Don't multitask, which is my specialty. Mm-hmm. and number eight, using your want power will give you more focus and energy. Now, what is a want power? I have no idea.
Wouldn't that be what you guys talk about all the time?
Focus on what you want, not what you don't want.
Yes,
and envision it.
It's a desire to do something. So when you use your want, what do you want? Or like my father always says, what do you want? How do you get it? When you focus on what you want, obviously that gives you more focus and it gives you the energy to get you there.
The easy conversation is, and I've had this happen many times with people, is it's very easy to complain. It's very easy to talk about what is wrong with the situation, but mm-hmm. then to shift your focus, okay, what do I want here? Okay, right. I understand what's wrong. I understand you're not happy. Mm-hmm. What do I want?
That's so funny because I just recorded a new spot where I say basically that you should be in divorce. You should be focusing on what you want tomorrow, not what you want to avoid today.
Oh, love it.
Thank you. You can Facebook quote me if you want to.
Okay.
Okay. All right. And that's a wrap.
Why? Thank you so much for tying that all up. All right. So anyway, thanks, ladies. It is good to be back in 2018 with the two of you.
Good to be back with you, Frank.
Same here.
Yes, we will move forward. And thanks again to Chris Johnson. Fantastic guest today. And we're back again next Sunday, and that is going to be 7 o'clock in the morning. So set your alarms.
Oof. All right.
Wake up.
Okay, yes, wake up with us. This is Happy Hour, and you're listening to K104.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104Online.com.